Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. I want to speak this morning on being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit out of verse 15 through verse 21. Verse 14. It says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Would you read verse 18 aloud with me? "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Lord, I love you and I thank you so much for the Bible. I thank you for the Word of God that we hold in our hand. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. I thank you that it's the thing that we can cling to that never changes because it's the Word of God. I pray this morning that I would lift up the Son of God, that I would expound your Word and exalt the Son, and that I would make much of you. And Lord, whether it's at home or whether it's in this auditorium, that your presence would be felt in our hearts as your Word is preached, and that you would just touch our hearts, feed us from the Word of God, draw us near to you this morning. I love you, and I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe see that last part of verse 18 says, "But be filled with the Spirit." I enjoy cars. I used to work on cars a little bit more when they were a little bit more, simpler to understand, all right? Well, you understand them, but you don't know all the parts. But I enjoy cars. If I were to say my favorite car, if I had to pick one to have, it'd be a 1968 Chevy Camaro Z28. I just really love those. I love the Chevelles as well. I enjoy cars. I enjoy going to some of those old car shows. Haven't been to one in a while. But I enjoy that, and probably some of what I enjoy about them is the speed at which you can travel while in them, all right? Not that I should probably admit that while behind a pulpit, all right? But I enjoy the horsepower in a car. I enjoy that element of it. When I lived in Indianapolis, we lived just a few miles one way from the O'Reilly Raceway Park, which is where the Nationals would take place for many of the quarter mile races and some things of that nature. The funny cars would race and all those different cars. And a few miles the other way was the Brickyard, the Indianapolis Brickyard, where the Indy 500 would take place and several other races. And you knew that spring was arriving there, not because the flowers were blooming, but you could hear engines running. All right, that's how you knew spring had arrived. I remember you could walk outside in the evening and you hear O'Reilly Raceway Park, those cars making their laps. There they had an outside lap as well as the straightaway. And you could hear the Brickyard down by the church. You'd hear that just running, those cars running. And this may sound silly, but I liked that sound, all right? I liked that sound. There was a fellow there named Ernie Phillips, who a friend of mine still, that was in the church there. And he won the Nationals in the 70s. He won the Nationals then. And his son was involved in some of those races, and he would take us there on occasion for those Nationals when they would take place. And I'll never forget getting down by that track. They would take those funny cars, the horsepower, and those things ran. They ran, they looked like a jet taking off. And a couple guys would literally push and roll that car out to the line. And they would roll that car out and they would prepare. And of course, they'd get their engines running. And then that light would go and it would go and that would shine and say go. And those things would take off. And the fuel as it burned, if you were standing there close, would literally burn your eyes. It was so rich as it burned off. And the people would wear the ear muffs and or the ear protection because of the noise of the engine. And you could feel it in your chest a little bit, that rumble of that engine as it took off. I mean, it was an experience. You may not want to experience that, but it was surely an experience to watch that and to be able to see that take place. But it was just a good time. But I picture those cars with all that horsepower, with all that ability, and just as those few fellas rolling that thing up to the line. As they rolled that thing up to the line, there was a lot of power in that car, but none of that power was realized until the engine was started and that thing took off down the track. Until that took place, there was just a couple guys trying to push a car to a line to get it to take off. I think so many times if we're not careful as a Christian, we live like those cars with all of that power inside, but not being used. as if we haven't clicked over the ignition and started the engine and started what's inside. And this verse is talking about being filled with the Spirit. It's not talking about the indwelling. The indwelling took place when you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 that we're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We're sealed by Him. And in Ephesians 4:27 it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. That Holy Spirit of God moved in. The Lord promised it in John 14:15-16 to His disciples that when He would depart, the Comforter would come and He would indwell us, and that took place. And anybody who's come to know Christ as their personal Savior has that Holy Spirit of God living inside of them. Now, when you think about that Holy Spirit of God, think about who it is. Oftentimes, we think of the Spirit as an object, but the Holy Spirit of God is not an object. He is the person of God. He is the person of God. And I was thinking about that as I studied that, and I went back to Genesis chapter 1. And it said there in the story of creation that the Spirit of God moved upon the deep. The Spirit of God was involved in creation. As God spoke the words, the Spirit of God created, if you will. You think about the awesome power of who God is and who He is in a spirit. It's oftentimes we think of the Spirit of God as if it's some inspiration, like we would use the word inspiration loosely, as if a basketball player that's inspired to play at a higher level because of some emotional thing that's taking place in his life. But that's not the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is a person who moves in, takes up resident in the heart of the Christian, and seals him under the day of redemption, and who empowers the Christian in their life. And there's a great power in there. It would be as if that car at the line never started their engine and just tried to push the quarter of a mile, if you will, by the strength of a man. And if we're not careful, we can live the Christian life that way, as if we're trying to push ourselves through to eternity while ignoring the awesome power of the Holy Spirit of God at work in our life. I want you to notice some of the things that we see in this portion of Scripture. The reason, number one, the reason we must be filled. The reason. I would say the first reason is the most obvious reason. It's just simple obedience. Simple obedience. Look at verse 17. First of all, before we get into verse 18, it says this: wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what? The will of the Lord is. Well, what would be the will of God? Well, I think we find that here in verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. I would say that the will of God, following that scripture in context, is that you and I as a Christian be filled with the Spirit. Not merely indwelt with the Spirit, but filled with the Spirit, possessed, having the Spirit in complete control of our life. See, this exhortation to be filled is not a suggestion, but a command. It's amazing sometimes we as Christians and folks in this day of age of grace, we get caught up in saying here, oh, those are Old Testament commandments. We're not under that. Well, what's a New Testament commandment? Here's one of them. Be filled with the Spirit. That is a command to you and I today. I believe this, if Christians were filled with the Spirit, we would have to worry about obedience to those commands of Scripture because we'd be under His control. And we see here in this portion of Scripture, He says, I'm going to give you a command, understanding what the will of the Lord is. And the will of the Lord is simply that we be obedient. If you notice the obedient to Him, filled with the Spirit, it's a command of God. You notice the comparison here as He says in this portion of Scripture, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I don't think any of us would deny the truth that being drunk with wine, especially being drunken, is a sinful thing. Matter of fact, Proverbs chapter 23 speaks to this very fact that man shouldn't even look upon it when it moveth itself aright. And it speaks of the influence of alcohol. And we know this, that alcohol begins its influence upon the first sip. As it lowers a man's inhibitions and begins to take its effect on a person. And none of us would doubt the fact that it is sinful to be especially drunken. We would say it's wrong to go out there and get drunk and get filled with the flesh and do the fleshly things and take part in that. Well, I would submit to you this. As much as it is wrong to be drunken, it is wrong not to be filled. As much as it is wrong not to be drunken, it is wrong for a Christian not to be filled. He says in this portion, be not drunk with wine whereas in excess, but be filled. I will tell you this, the number one reason to seek this filling of the Holy Spirit is simple obedience to the will of God. It is the will of God that every Christian should be filled with the Spirit, not merely indwelt, but filled, under the complete influence of His Spirit and His work in our life. How about this one? The reason for filling not only obedience, but how about this? Obligations. Obligations. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, look at verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Obligations in our worship life. You know, we were just here just spending a few moments worshiping the Lord, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We were making much of Christ. We were worshiping the Lord. How sad would it be to try to worship the Lord without the power of His Spirit in our life? Probably we've all sat through services that way. They're one of two things. They're either dry or carnal. They're either dry or carnal. They're either empty of a moving of the Lord, or, and that's one extreme of not being filled. The other extreme is we try to gin up something that's not present in the Holy Spirit's moving, and it becomes very carnal and very fleshly. Rather being a Spirit move, last year our theme was still church, and part of that still church, part of the last emphasis of that was still exciting. What makes the Lord's house exciting is the presence of the Holy Spirit at work in our life. It's when God moves in and stirs and does a work. And I believe this, in our worship life, there is a need for a Spirit-filled pastor. There's a need for Spirit-filled song leaders. There's a need for Spirit-filled choirs. There's a need for Spirit-filled ushers and nursery workers and Sunday school teachers and junior church workers. There's a need for Spirit-filled congregants. In other words, we should come to the house of God filled with His Spirit, ready to worship the Lord and serve Him and hear from Him. If we're not careful, you might sit in your living room or at today or come to the house of God expecting to get and be filled with something we should have already had before we arrived. Our obligation to be filled with His Spirit. He commands it in our worship. How about not only in this passage you talk about in our worship, but in our wedded life? Look at verse 22, this command given to the wives. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And then it says this, as unto the Lord. How about verse 25? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. I believe this, there's a need for Spirit-filled Christians in their wedded life. You know what your home needs most of all? Is a Spirit-filled home. You know, that's why God tells us not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You know why? Because one can't be filled. Because they're not even indwelt. He said, be not yoked together with unbelievers. He said this, because you'll never have the home you need, because one of you will not have the most important ingredient, and that is the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life. I can tell you what homes need is Spirit-filled wives and Spirit-filled husbands, Spirit-filled children. If you go to the beginning of chapter 6 here, it tells children to be obedient unto the Lord, to honor them and obey them, Spirit-filled children. You know why children, you know, I believe this, Christians, regardless of age, have the command to be yielded and filled with the Spirit of God. In our worship, in our wedded life, how about this one, in our work life? Ephesians chapter 6, continuing on from here, it says in verse 5, it says, servants, be obedient unto them that are your masters in our workplace, is what he's talking about, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart. And then it says this, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You know, there's a need for Spirit-filled Christians in their workplace. Spirit-filled Christian isn't just something that should happen on Sunday or happen in a service or happen as a Sunday school teacher teaches or someone witnesses to another, but Spirit-filled Christians should be seen in our worship, in our wedded life, and in our work life. Notice it said to heed your masters, and then it says even this, as unto the Lord. Hey, there may be times when in order to follow those that you work for, it's going to require the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. But it should be a regular thing in a work in our life. A Spirit-filled Christian in their work life. Hey, you should work hard in your workplace, not just for your boss or for a paycheck, but as unto the Lord, filled with His Spirit. Most people try to do as little as they can and get as much as they can. You know, it's unfortunate that many times in the workplace, folks are looking to do as little as they can, but at the same time receiving as much as they can. I will promise you this, that is never the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian. He said this, we need to be Spirit-filled in every aspect of our life, in out of obedience, out of obligation, in our worship life, in our wedded life, in our work life, in our war life. You say, what do you mean by war life? Look at verse 10 of chapter 6. It said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Hey, it is important in our spiritual life, in our spiritual warfare life, that we are filled with the Spirit. Too many times we're trying to get spiritual results by a fleshly work. Spiritual results as a result of a fleshly work. And God says here, if you're gonna win the spiritual warfare of your life, you're gonna do it because you're filled with the Spirit. You know what? I'm gonna go back to our homes. You know what our homes need? Is Spirit-filled parents, Spirit-filled children, folks surrender to the Lord who win in the battle of raising a godly home and a godly family under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. And yet many times our homes are under the influence of a lost world. Philosophies, ideologies, music, media, entertainment, worldly guidance in terms of how to be successful and what it is to be successful, rather than under the influence of the almighty power of God. The one who came and spoke this world into existence, who lives and dwells in the heart of a Christian. He said this, we need it in our work life, our wedded life, our war life, that spiritual warfare of life. You know, some battles every battle begins spiritually. Spiritually. Especially, I think, this in our witness life. Look at how Paul begins to finish off this book here in verse 18 of chapter 6. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. And for me, he said, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You know what he said he needed in order to preach the gospel, in order to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? He needed the power of God in his life, that so the word of God could go forth in our witness life. Hey, we need the Spirit of God because of our obligations. I promise you this, that every need you have in your life begins with the need for the power of God when you face every circumstance. When I go to worship, I need the filling of God. In my home, in my married life, I need the power of God. In our work life, we need the power of God. In our spiritual warfare, we need the power of God. When we witness, we need the power of God. God didn't give us for a spirit for Him to sit on the shelf. And many times, if we're not Christians, we're like the person trying to push their car, not even realizing that there's a motor in there, and all they have to do is turn the key, and that thing goes all by itself. Hey, he said this. He says in Scripture, he said, you need it. The reason we need it. I want you to look at this. Not only do we see out of obedience and obligations, but opportunities. Ephesians 5, verses 14 and 16 says this. Verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, as wise. And then this, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. You know what he's saying? Time is running out. Time is running out. Awake thou that sleepest. Wake up. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. As I read these verses, I think of James 5, 6, 7 through 8. It says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Time is running out. Opportunities to serve the Lord, opportunities to share the gospel, opportunities to do that are running out. One of the most frustrating things for me during this time is the difficulty that it is to share the gospel. People want social distance, and it is difficult to witness from a distance. Oh, we can do through social media and live stream, but you know 76% of people end up in church because of a personal invitation? 76% of people end up not because of what they saw online or on TV, but because of a face-to-face interaction with another person. Oh, and I'm not diminishing the value of someone trusting Christ as over a message heard and all that. We know that can happen, but there's something about when you just look at someone and say, are you 100% sure that if you were to die today that you go straight to heaven? I've kept some tracks in my truck, and as I go through the drive-thrus, I've been handing them out to those folks. You know, several of them have got multiple ones, all right? But here it is. Christian, there are opportunities that are running out as time goes by. We need the Spirit of God for those opportunities. Hey, we need His moving. I think of this, the requirements for it. What is needed to be Spirit-filled? And God gives us some of these things here. I think of this one. The first one is a complete commitment. A complete commitment. He said this in verse 18 again, and be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but then this, but be filled. Didn't say half full, didn't say a quarter full, he didn't say just have it, just be indwelt. He said, but be filled. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20 says this, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. A complete commitment is necessary for a complete filling. Anytime I say God no, I eliminate something He can have. And what He says here in Scripture, He says, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. In other words, He said, I am the place at which the Holy Spirit lives and dwells. How much of me does He possess? How much of me does He possess? Have I given Him every aspect of my life? Have I given Him my family life? My work life? The financial aspects of my life? My thought life? What I see, what I listen to, where I go, what I do. Love that kids song. It brings a lot of things into perspective. Some of us as adults would probably do well to sing it again. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. How about, oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. For the Father up above is looking down in love, so be careful, little hands, what you do. Most importantly, because you're filled. Have I given Him the use of my hands, the use of my eyes, and the use of my ears, and the use of my body? Have I yielded to Him what I do and where I go and what I say? Have I yielded it to Him my finances? Have I said, Lord, this isn't about how I want it to be done. It's how You would have it to be done. Have I yielded Him my future? Have I given Him everything completely, laid it down, and say, Lord, it's Yours? Here's what happens. When I say God no, tell God no, I shut off an aspect of my life to His complete control. Filling becomes impossible. I must give Him every aspect of my life, a complete control. How about this? A continual control. Notice the comparison here in verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. Have you ever read this verse and wondered why God didn't say, and do not steal, but be filled with the Spirit? And do not lie, but be filled with the Spirit? And do not covet, but be filled with the Spirit? That's not what He said. He said, and be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We know this. In order for someone to be drunken, they must continually drink. They must continually drink. In other words, when they quit drinking, it'll eventually wear off. From the moment someone first takes a sip, it begins its awful impact. And if they drink too much, alcohol poisoning takes place. Reminds me of the verse in James chapter 1 where it says, and lust when it hath conceived bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth what? Death. From the first sip of alcohol, you begin to poison your body. Its end is death. You never know, the first sip of the Holy Spirit leads to life and eternal life. Talk about a comparison. One leads to death and destruction, ruined homes and ruined lives, and the other one leads to the complete opposite, life, love, joy, peace, gentleness, all those things. But the illustration he uses is this, is that That person who will continually stay under the influence of alcohol, they must continually be drinking it, yielding to it, partaking of it. You know something about the Holy Spirit? He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's His promise. But if we're going to continually be filled, we must continually be going to Him, yielding to Him, under His influence, allowing Him to work in our life. Continually allowing Him to do that. How do we do that? I'll tell you, one of the simple ways is this. It goes to what the Bible tells us about the Word of God. In 2 Timothy 3:16-7, it says all this: all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for the instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What is that inspiration of God? 2 Peter 1:21 gives us some clarity on it when it says this: for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by, if you know how it finishes it, finish it, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. You know what he's saying here in this portion of Scripture? He says that this book that we have here came by word of the Holy Ghost. Filling is directly tied to this book. Say, preacher, what does it mean to yield to His Spirit? It means to yield to His Word. How do I yield and give up and give over my life to the Holy Spirit of God? It is this. It is me living in obedience to the commands of the Word of God. And when I choose my will over His will written in this Word, I have shut off part of my life to the influence of the Holy Spirit of God in my life. He said this: yield completely, yield fully to the precepts and the principle, line upon line, of the Word of God. He wrote it, and if I will be under its influence, I will be in its Word. I will promise you this: if you are not continually partaking of the Word of God, you are not filled. If you are living a life of not continually being in the very Word written by the Word of God, you are not filled. You might be indwelt, but you are not filled. If you are living a life in disobedience to the Word of God, you may be indwelt, but you are not filled. If I neglect to heed the Word of God, I am disobeying the command to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit and the Word of God are divinely entwined, and you cannot separate them. He said this: I must be filled, and filling comes by a continual taking part of the Word of God as I submit my life and surrender to His Word. As I say, Lord, what do you have for me? And I turn its pages. I've been reading in Ezra this week, and I read how it said about Ezra that he prepared his heart to seek the Lord. He prepared his heart to seek the Lord. We need to look at, what does he mean by preparing his heart to seek the Lord? I read about as they were rebuilding the walls and there in Jerusalem, and he heard about even the remnant that had come back from Babylon after they knew their freedom begin to intermingle with the people of the land, and that immorality that began to, or that it began to creep in, how he was brokenhearted and said, this must stop, and there was a need for holiness. Christian, are you regularly, I was thinking about what it meant to holiness in my life, preparing my heart to seek the Lord. Are you regularly taking part of the Word of God and saying, God, here's my life. What do you have to say? What do you have for me? And surrendering to it. I will tell you this. If this book sat on your shelf last week and you didn't turn its pages, you were not filled. You cannot be filled. I must be saturating my life with the Word of God. Hey, continual filling. How about this? A conscious claiming. I love Acts chapter 4, verse 31. It says this: and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they assembled together. And they were all filled, not indwelt, because they had already been indwelt. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the Word of God with boldness. Luke 11:11-13 says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask him a fish, will he fish? Will he give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Holy Spirit is found on our knees. Filling is found in God's Word and on our knees before Him as we submit our life to His Word and we spend time with Him. Just like that alcoholic, that man who remains drunken, walks about with a bottle in his hand as if it's the most important thing in his life. A Christian needs to walk around with the Word of God because it's the most important thing in their life, regularly saturating their life with His Word and on time in their knees. Hey, praying without ceasing. It can't be far from me. You ever watch it? Maybe you don't. I have known a few, some folks who are bound by that alcohol. It was never far from them. Some bottle on the shelf, maybe a flask in the pocket, or there was always somewhere close, or maybe someone who had a drug issue that always had to have it close and constant in their life. And I promise you this, he's using a correlation in this. As much as a fleshly man is bound by its influence and the power of a sinful thing that leads to death and destruction, you and I as a Christian must be bound to the Almighty God who brings forth life. It must be readily at my hands, saturating my heart, saturating my minds, regularly on my knees before the Lord saying, God, I need you. I need your strength. I need your power. I need your working. I need to be filled with your Spirit. I need it to be the proper husband to that lady. I need it to be the proper father to those children. I need it to be the pastor that I should be, to be the one who comes to the house of God who worships. I need it in my workplace. I need it every aspect of my life. We need the filling. And God said, understanding what the will of the Lord is for your life is that you would be filled. The universal will of God for every Christian's life is that they would be filled by His Spirit. Sometimes we look around and we say, well, what's wrong? What's wrong is we're not filled, and we're not filled because we're not yielded and saturated with the Word of God, spending time in prayer before our Lord, saying, Lord, I need you. I need you. I need you. He said this, here is the requirement, yielding complete control of my life. Continual control. As I continually look into this Word and say, who should I be and who would you have me to be? And I yield to His work. And I get on my knees before Him and I say, Lord, change me into that by the power of your Spirit. Because this old flesh cannot do it. Help me, Lord, to be the witness that I need to be. Help me not to miss an opportunity to witness. Lord, I don't want to miss it. In the flesh, I'll miss them. Sometimes I'll back down because I'm nervous. Don't think it's the right moment. But Holy Spirit of God pushes through. I need Him in my home, in my family, my workplace, in my life. Lord, empower me, strengthen me, fill me. I want you to notice not only the reason, not only the requirement, but lastly, we see the results. The results. How about a spirit of adoration? Look at verse 19 again. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know what spirit filling does? It makes you lift up Christ. Lift up the Lord. I love John 15:26 talking about the Holy Spirit and His comforter. As the Comforter, in John 15:26, Jesus tells His disciples this, but when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. You know, the first work of the Holy Spirit is a work of testifying of Christ. Well, people try to make the Spirit, Holy Spirit of God into a whole lot of things. Matter of fact, when the Lord says to try the spirits, He said one of the ways you try a spirit is to see if it recognizes Jesus Christ as God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God lifts up the Lord. You know, when the Holy Spirit's in control, you will make much of the Lord. Singing, making melody in your heart, speaking with psalms, hymns, and hearing spiritual songs. When the Holy Spirit of God takes over, it makes me worship Him. You ever been alone with the Lord in your devotions, reading the Word of God, maybe spending some time in prayer, and all of a sudden, the next thing you knew, you've got to hum a hymn out of tune. Sing a song, praise the Lord, tell somebody about Jesus. The Holy Spirit begins to take over and take control. Adoration. When the Holy Spirit takes over, we have what we must do is speak of Him. Proverbs chapter 23, if you were to read the end of that chapter, it tells a lot of things that alcohol will make a man do. Look upon women he shouldn't. Chase after women he shouldn't. It makes him feel unsteady. Wakes up the next day and essentially, I'm going to paraphrase, said, I should have never done that, but I'm going to seek it again tonight. When a Christian's under the influence of God, the Holy Spirit of God, I'm going to praise Him. We do things we naturally wouldn't do in the flesh, but in the Spirit, we lift Him up. We make much of Him. How about this, a spirit of appreciation? Look at verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things unto God. Boy, that has been a prayer of mine these last few weeks. Lord, help me to give thanks for something that I struggle to be thankful for, this virus. Giving thanks for all things. When the Holy Spirit of God takes over, we become thankful people, grateful people. Young people, if you don't desire to praise God and are not thankful, you're not filled. I will tell you this, a lot of problems, and I don't mean to pick on young people, but a lot of problems with rebellion is a problem with not being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The same problem we as adults have. Unthankful young people who don't seek after God is because they're not filled with the Spirit. As adults, same old thing. When we lack that desire to praise and to lift up the Lord and to give thanks for what He's done, it's because our lives are not yielded like they should be. The result of a Spirit-filled Christian is one who wants to lift up and praise God. And lift Him up and speak of Him and praise Him. A spirit of announcement. This goes back to adoration. And that Spirit, that Holy Spirit of God. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you of the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of Me. We should announce to others who God is. How about this one? A spirit of accommodation. Look at verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Romans 12, verse 10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Spirit of accommodation. The Holy Spirit of God is in a spirit of strife, but a spirit of accommodation. To right. Galatians 5, 22 through 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Do you ever notice how many of those speak to our relationship with others? Love, peace. How about this one? Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. How many of the fruits of the Spirit directly speak to our relationship with other people? A spirit of accommodation. Saying, I'm not here to hurt another or to get something from them. I'm here to offer, to minister, to serve. See, the Holy Spirit of God, when He takes over, takes that place of, when He takes over, it makes us want to serve, to minister, to be there for others. A spirit of accommodation in our life. Submitting ourselves unto one another, serving one another, loving one another, caring for one another. I can tell you when that is absent, it's because filling is absent. It's because filling is absent in our life. The results. Ever notice that as you think over these things, they're the things that a Christian ought to be. But a Christian ought to be because that's who the Spirit of God is. As a Christian, I am to be filled with the Spirit. Completely yielded, completely controlled, completely influenced by the Spirit of God. Anything that takes influence from the Holy Spirit and places it somewhere else is not something I should be a part of. Be filled with the Spirit. Hey, think about who that is. Think about who it is. The Spirit is not just an emotion. It is the person of God. The day that you were saved, I love the song, Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul. You know why heaven came down and glory filled my soul? Because the Holy Spirit of God came down and filled my soul. The day that I became to know Him, that He indwelt me. But there must be a continual filling, continual yielding. I'm as grasp hold of this book as if it's my lifeline because it is. It must always be close at hand. It must be a part of my regular daily life as I take it, turn its pages and see who God is and what He has given me through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I must say, Lord, I'm surrendering to that. I'm submitting to that. I'm yielding to that. Change me, shape me, make me, mold me, empower me. Help me to be the husband I should be, the father I should be, the pastor I should be, the friend I should be, the son I should be, the co-worker I should be. Help me to be the leader I should be in every aspect of my life. Fill me and use me. Not that I'll be a better me, but there'll be more of you shown through me. This world says be the best you can be. The best you can be is fall short of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The best you can be is far short of anything God would want you to be. The most you can be is filled with His Spirit, under His influence. That's far better than anything else this world offers you. Completely controlled by the Spirit of God, yielded to Him. We're not careful. This world and the devil sells us a bill of goods and says you can push that car to the finish line. You can push it to the finish line. Push it up to the starting point and you can push it all the way to the end. Don't worry about turning the ignition. You'll get there just fine. And in the aspect that there's a time appointed unto man wants to die after this, the judgment, you're right. You'll come to the end of your life. But you won't have fought the good fight, empowered by His Spirit. He says, be not drunk with wine where is in excess. Have no part of the fleshly control of this world, but be completely filled with the Spirit of God, under His influence from the first sip at salvation, the last time you leave this world, that you would be near this book, saturated this book, yielded to His working, filled with His Spirit, completely dependent upon Him. And as you are, a spirit of, really, adoration comes over. A spirit of appreciation comes over. A spirit of announcement comes over. You must proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every time through the book of Acts, when His people were filled, they boldly proclaimed the word of God. And a spirit of, if you will, accommodation. As we serve next to one another, striving together for the same things, the gospel of Jesus Christ, serving Him. There's a need in our life to be filled with the One who spoke this world into existence. Let's pray. Lord, I love You. I thank You so much that You would be willing to send Your Son to die on the cross and rise again 3 days later. To send that Holy Spirit of God after we came to know You as our Savior, to dwell inside of us, to seal us, and to fill us if we yield. I pray this morning that we would completely yield. Maybe through the message this morning, there was something that was laid on our hearts that we have not completely yielded. Maybe Your Holy Spirit of God spoke again where it feels like You've been silent because we haven't paid attention. And I pray that in that place that we would completely yield. We'd be completely surrendered. I pray that we would grasp the Word of God and not get far from it, because it is the Word of God given to us by way of the Holy Spirit of God by holy men of old. I pray that we would yield to its Word, yield to the influence of the Holy Spirit, and be completely filled in our life. Heads bowed and eyes closed, both here in the auditorium or maybe there wherever you're at listening to this service. Why don't you take a moment and say, Lord, am I yielded? I think that's the first place to start. Lord, am I yielded? Is there something in my life that I haven't given You control over? And why don't you give it back to Him? Maybe it's a command that you read in Scripture that you choose not to follow. Maybe it's just a something personal between you and the Holy Spirit that He has pricked your heart on and said, give it up or pick this up, or just some leading of the Holy Spirit that you need to say, Lord, okay, here I am. Hey, young people in your living rooms, are you surrendered? Are the fruits, the results of the moving of this Holy Spirit of God evident in your life? Hey, but as God has spoken to your heart, surrender to Him, then choose this week to keep that Word of God so close and near and dear. It is His Word given by way of the Holy Spirit of God. To spend time on your knees and to pray without ceasing. To let your day be led and guided each day by the work of the Holy Spirit. That wouldn't just be something you do in the morning and walk up and stand up from and never return to, but even something through the day you'd be yielded to Him and speaking to Him as you go about your day. Lord, I love You and I thank You for the work of the Holy Spirit. I thank You that You are willing to indwell us and live inside of us. That Your Holy Spirit of God would move in and do a work in our heart. I pray, Lord, that You would continue to do that for us this week, that You would work in my heart as well. Lord, my life is Yours. I yield myself to You. I lead my home to You, my family to You, my body to You, my mind to You, my emotions to You. And I pray, Lord, that You just fill us, strengthen us, and use us this week, that we would be in complete submission to You and complete submission to Your Word, completely filled and ready to be used. I love You, Lord, and I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. Those of you who are here and those of you who are watching, I appreciate that. We'll be back this evening live at 6 o'clock. Pastor Adam will be preaching for us this evening. And then next week, Pastor Brian will be preaching for us. Both of them will be preaching this Sunday evening and next Sunday evening. I'm going to give them the opportunity to preach in unusual circumstances, all right? And that way I can sit out there and heckle them just a little bit. No, I won't do that, all right? And amen them, all right? And so be in prayer for Pastor Adam this afternoon as he prepares to come this evening and preach and watch via Facebook. And those of you that are here, I'm so thankful for it. But I'm praying for you. Can't wait till we're all back together. And I love you all. You have a great Sunday afternoon.